Group's legislative update for March 20, 2026. Speaking to Leadership, Wilson's best class ever, each year is a highlight. Lawmakers celebrate Tennessee's deep agricultural roots. Members of the General Assembly celebrated Tennessee's number one industry on March 17 during the annual AG Day on the Hill at the state capitol in Nashville. The annual event, which coincides with National Agriculture Week, brings together farmers, state legislators, exhibitors, industry partners, and 4-H and Future Farmers of America members to highlight the importance of farming and forestry in Tennessee. During the event, Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee Chairman Chris Todd, R. Madison County, and Business and Utilities Chairman Rusty Grills, R. New Bern, competed in a cross-cut saw contest against the Senate and the executive branch. The agriculture and forestry industries employ hundreds of thousands of Tennesseans and directly and indirectly contribute up to $103 billion to the volunteer state's economy every year. Bill would curb hit-and-run accidents. A proposal to strengthen the penalties for drivers who leave the scene of an accident advanced out of the Criminal Justice Subcommittee this week. The James Bardsley Life Protection Act, sponsored by State Representative Robert Stevens, R. Smyrna, would increase the penalty for leaving the scene of an accident that results in injury or death from a Class A misdemeanor to a Class E felony. If a driver should have reasonably known that the crash resulted in a death, the offense would be elevated to a Class D felony. Anyone who leaves the scene of an accident, especially when someone is seriously injured or dying, should face serious consequences, Stevens said. This bill ensures drivers who flee cannot simply walk away from the harm they cause. James Jimmy Bardsley Jr., 19, was killed in September 2021 after he was struck on his motorcycle by a hit-and-run driver in Rutherford County. The driver was later identified and then convicted in December 2023 on multiple charges, including leaving the scene of a fatal crash, but was released under court-supervised parole just 1 year into his sentence. House Bill 1521 is expected to be heard in the Judiciary Committee on March 23. Charlie Kirk Act promotes civil debate on college campuses. A proposal to ensure college campuses remain beacons of freedom of expression advanced out of the Higher Education Subcommittee this week. The Charlie Kirk Act, or House Bill 1476, sponsored by State Representative Gino Bolso, R. Brentwood, would prohibit a public college or university in Tennessee from disinviting a speaker because of their viewpoints or in response to threatened protests or opposition from students or faculty. We want to be the gold standard for having public colleges and universities that are known to be neutral when it comes to divisive political and social issues, places where others can come and debate in a civil manner, Bolso told committee members. The proposal requires public institutions of higher education in Tennessee to adopt a free expression policy consistent with the one implemented by the University of Chicago in 2015, which underscores a university's responsibility to promote fearless freedom of debate and deliberation. They would also be required to adopt a policy on political and social action, like the Cavan Report, which the University of Chicago adopted in 1967 to encourage institutional neutrality. The Charlie Kirk Act protects the academic freedom of faculty by prohibiting retaliation or discrimination based on the viewpoints expressed in scholarly work or any speech or writing protected by the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. It also safeguards the freedom of religion and conscience of students and faculty. The proposal honors the legacy of Charlie Kirk, a political activist dedicated to open dialogue and civil debate. Kirk was assassinated on September 10, 2025, at Utah Valley University during a Turning Point USA event, an organization he founded. House passes E-Verify requirement for government hires. Legislation to ensure only people lawfully residing in the United States are hired by state and local governments in Tennessee passed in the House this week. House Bill 1705, sponsored by State Representative Tim Rudd, R. Murfreesboro, would require government employers to verify the work authorization status of all new hires and appointees before employment. Using taxpayer dollars to employ someone illegally residing in our nation is an insult to the law-abiding residents who make Tennessee strong and prosperous, Rudd said. This legislation ensures all levels of government in the volunteer state put the best interests of Tennesseans first in hiring decisions. All hires by state and local government entities, including boards and local education education agencies would be required to have lawful status verified using the federal government's E-Verify program beginning July 1st. Documentation of E-Verify results would be retained throughout the employee's tenure. House Bill 1705 also empowers the Tennessee Attorney General to withhold state-shared tax revenue and other state funding from non-compliant municipalities. The companion version of the bill is still advancing in the Senate. Proposal expands access to childhood mental health resources. A proposal to improve the health and wellness of children in Tennessee advanced in the House this week. House Bill 2313, sponsored by State Representative David Hawk, R. Greenville, authorizes the Tennessee Department of Health to collaborate with the Tennessee Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services to create and oversee a voluntary mental health home visiting program for children from birth to 5 years old. Emotional and social behavioral issues with our children are beginning at an even earlier age, and this is going to help us work within that space, Hawk said. Parents and children would attend psychotherapy sessions and receive access to care coordination, resources, developmental and mental health assessments, and be subject to fidelity monitoring to ensure compliance with DOE guidelines. The program prioritizes families vulnerable to socioeconomic, environmental, or behavioral health challenges in admission decisions. The bill is modeled after the Nurse Family Partnership, a home visiting program that assists low-income mothers and their children by providing health assessments, parental guidance, and child development resources, with support from registered nurses. Mental health challenges can begin in early childhood years, with anxiety, depression, and behavioral disorders being the most common among young children, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. House Bill 2313 will be considered in the Government Operations Committee on March 23. Measure aims to ease school bus driver shortage. A proposal to help ensure Tennessee students get to and from school on time advanced in the House this week. House Bill 1790, sponsored by State Representative Mike Sparks, R. Smyrna, would lower the minimum age requirement to drive a school bus in the volunteer state from 25 to 23, while ensuring all drivers are well qualified according to existing training and licensing standards. School boards would maintain the ability to regulate bus driver qualifications in accordance with state law. The proposal does not require districts to change their existing age requirement. Schools across the nation are grappling with a serious bus driver shortage, disrupting student schedules and creating uncertainty for families, Sparks said. Lowering the minimum age requirement will expand the pool of qualified applicants, providing meaningful opportunities for young Tennesseans and helping ensure all children have safe, reliable transportation to and from school. Drivers must first meet all requirements to earn a commercial driver's license with a school bus endorsement. In addition to the minimum age, applicants must demonstrate good character, competency, and fitness. They must also have at least 5 consecutive years of unrestricted driving experience. School districts across the state have faced bus driver shortages in recent years, including in Rutherford, Wilson, Williamson, and Coffee counties. House Bill 1790 is scheduled for consideration in the Transportation Committee on March 24. Guardrails for minor content creators moves through House. A proposal to strengthen child labor compensation laws to reflect today's revenue-driven social media landscape advanced in the House this week. House Bill 1723, sponsored by State Representative Ron Travis, R. Dayton, prohibits minors between the ages of 14 and 17 from posting content in exchange for compensation. A parent or other adult with a minor engaged in content creation would be required to maintain certain records until the minor turns 21 and set aside the minor's earnings in a trust account. This bill updates Tennessee law to address an issue that simply did not exist when most overt child labor protections were written, said Travis. A minor would only be considered engaged in content creation if an account generates revenue through views, the creator earns at least $15,000 a year in compensation, and a child appears in at least 30% of the content. Minors could commence civil action for certain violations of this proposal. Videos featuring the minor could be deleted and removed from an online platform if requested. Social media platforms would also be required to implement a strategy to mitigate the risk of monetization and exploitation from intentionally sexualizing minors. House Bill 1723 is expected to be heard in the Commerce Committee on March 25. Tuition benefit expansion for military families advances. One lawmaker has proposed legislation to support military and veteran family members looking to continue their education in Tennessee. House Bill 1789, sponsored by State Representative J. Reedy, R. Aaron, removes the one-year 5-year residency requirement for military spouses who live in Tennessee and requires public higher education institutions to classify them as in-state students for tuition purposes. The proposal adds dependents of active duty service members or veterans who reside outside the state to those eligible for in-state tuition. We have 4 locally governed institutions that are already doing this, including Austin Peay State University, East Tennessee State University, Tennessee State University, and Tennessee Tech, Reedy told committee members. The spouse must live in Tennessee while enrolled in the institution. Eligible dependents would be allowed to reside outside of the state. House Bill 1789 is expected to be heard in the Education Committee on March 24. Public Health Bill addresses underage vape usage. The House this week advanced legislation to increase awareness of the dangers of electronic cigarette usage in young Tennesseans. House Bill 2360, sponsored by State Representative David Hawk, R. Greenville, would set aside 30% of tax revenue from vapor products for youth nicotine prevention programs and services across Tennessee. We have unfortunately seen that these products are being sold to underage consumers, and we need to do all we can to ensure our youth are aware of the harmful, damaging effects of vapes and educate them well on healthier outlets, said Hawk. Vapes contain high levels of nicotine, which is highly addictive and can harm the parts of an adolescent's brain that control attention, mood, and impulses. They are the most commonly used tobacco products among U.S. youth, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. House Bill 2360 has been placed behind the budget for consideration at a later date. Expanding Tennessee's disaster relief efforts. The State and Local Government Committee advanced legislation this week to strengthen Tennessee's ability to respond quickly and responsibly when disasters strike. House Bill 2543, sponsored by House Majority Leader William Lamberth, R. Portland, and State Representative Tim Hicks, R. Gray, expands the Governor's Response and Recovery Fund to become the state's primary mechanism for disaster aid. As disasters become more frequent and recovery costs continue to rise, Tennessee must be prepared to address situations where damage is significant, but federal disaster assistance is unavailable or insufficient, Hicks told committee members. The proposal creates 2 new avenues for delivering assistance, one for local governments and school districts and another for individuals impacted by disasters. The fund would support local governments, counties, cities, and school districts recovering from disaster-related damage by assisting with essential services, including debris removal, road and bridge repair, water and sewer systems, public buildings, equipment, and other emergency infrastructure needs. It would also provide limited assistance to individuals when Federal Emergency Management Agency individual assistance is unavailable. Funds may be considered only for individuals when a state of emergency has been declared, federal aid is unavailable or unlikely, and damage exceeds a threshold established by the Tennessee Emergency Management Agency. The local jurisdiction also must formally request assistance. House Bill 2543 is expected to be heard in the Finance, Ways, and Means Subcommittee on March 25. Legislation recognizes sacrifice of fallen linemen. A proposal to support families of electrical linemen who are killed in the line of duty was heard in the Finance, Ways, and Means Subcommittee this week. The Chance Carlton Act, or House Bill 1464, sponsored by State Representative Dennis Powers, R. Jacksboro, would add electrical linemen to the list of first responders whose families are eligible to receive $250,000 in payments over a 5-year period to help ease financial burdens following their loved one's death. Whether it's the middle of the night, a holiday, or the height of a storm, linemen always answer the call to keep our communities running, Powers said. When tragedy strikes, their families deserve the same support we provide to other public servants who risk their lives for us every day. Tennessee currently provides this benefit to families of law enforcement officers, firefighters, and volunteer rescue squad members. Chance Carlton, a 32-year-old from Carroll County, died last April while working to restore power following a severe storm, leaving behind his wife and 2 young daughters. If enacted, the legislation would take effect on July 1st and apply to work-related deaths occurring on or after that date. House Bill 1464 was placed behind the budget to be considered at a later date. Pro 2A bill protects law-abiding gun owners. The Criminal Justice Subcommittee this week advanced legislation to further cement Tennessee as one of the best states in the nation for gun owners. House Bill 985, sponsored by State Representative Michelle Reno, R. Signal Mountain, removes the criminal penalty for carrying a firearm in an area where no gun signs are posted, while preserving property owners' right to refuse entry or ask someone to leave. The legislation would also simplify simplify signage requirements to make property owners' regulations clear. This legislation ensures that the criminal penalty follows a refusal to comply, not merely just walking past a sign, said Renault. It's currently a Class B misdemeanor punishable by a $500 fine if someone carries a gun on property that has signage expressly prohibiting firearms. These individuals could also have their handgun permit suspended or revoked, even if there is no criminal intent, no unlawful acts are committed and there is no refusal to comply. If a person does not comply with the property owner's request to leave, the individual may be charged with criminal trespass. House Bill 985 is scheduled to be heard by the Judiciary Committee on March 23. House honors Jeff Burkhart. The House of Representatives welcomed the family of the late State Representative Jeff Burkhart, R. Clarksville, this week to honor his life and legacy in the volunteer state. Burkhart unexpectedly passed away on November 14, 2025, at the age of 63. House Joint Resolution 744 by House Majority Caucus Chairman Jeremy Faison, R. Cosby, recognized his more than 40-year career of public service, including his time with the Clarksville Fire Rescue, Clarksville City Council and the Tennessee General Assembly. He was elected to represent District 75 in 2022. Briefly, hunting laws. The General Assembly on Thursday passed legislation to protect hunting rights in Tennessee by clarifying current law. House Bill 2017, sponsored by Assistant House Majority Leader Mark Cochran, R. Englewood, would prohibit local governments from regulating the manner and means of taking wildlife, reaffirming that authority over hunting methods is the responsibility of the Tennessee Fish and Wildlife Commission. It does not inhibit any county or municipality from regulating firearm discharge by a person lawfully hunting within 500 feet of school property. A 2013 opinion from the Tennessee Attorney General stated that municipalities may regulate firearm discharge if those ordinances do not conflict with state hunting laws. House Bill 2017 now heads to Governor Bill Lee's desk for his signature. No tax on school supplies. A proposal to provide sales tax relief to teachers purchasing classroom supplies was heard in the Finance, Ways and Means Subcommittee this week. House Bill 1540, sponsored by State Representative Runa Jones, R. Unicoi, would exempt certain school supplies and instructional materials from the sales and use tax when purchased by public and charter school teachers. Eligible items include binders, crayons, composition books, folders, scissors, and more. Teachers would apply for and receive a sales tax exemption card through the Tennessee Department of Revenue, similar to those issued to agricultural producers, to make qualified purchases. House Bill 1540 was placed behind the budget to be considered at a later date. 4th of July instruction. A proposal to require schools across Tennessee to observe the 4th of July annually was approved in the House chamber on Thursday. House Bill 1857, sponsored by State Representative Tim Rudd, R. Murfreesboro, directs schools to provide students with appropriate instruction on the founding of the United States, the separation of the 13 colonies from Great Britain, the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution and related rights and freedoms. School districts and charter schools would determine the instructional program and methods based on grade-specific objectives. The proposal requires instruction to be nonpartisan and focus on historical facts, founding documents, and underlying civic principles. The companion version of House Bill 1857 is still advancing in the Senate. Stem cell therapy. A proposal to ensure Tennesseans have access to safe and effective stem cell treatment advanced out of the Health Subcommittee this week. House Bill 2246 by State Representative Chris Hurt, R. Halls, would establish ethical and medical guardrails to protect patients and access to stem cell therapy in the volunteer state. The proposal allows physicians to perform stem cell or regenerative medicine therapies that are not approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration if they are within a physician's scope of practice. It also prohibits the use of stem cells from aborted children. Stem cell therapy uses living stem cells to repair, replace, or regenerate tissues in the body to treat a growing number of diseases, injuries, and disorders. House Bill 2246 will be considered in the Health Committee on March 24. Abolition of professional privilege tax. House Bill 189 by State Representative Ron Gant, R. Piperton, would eliminate the professional privilege tax in Tennessee by May 31, 2031. Currently, certain professionals are required to pay $400 to the state for the privilege of practicing their profession. This proposal would lower that rate by $100 each year until the tax is completely abolished. Tennessee Republicans have eliminated this flat fee on 18 professions since 2009. COVID-19, but attorneys, securities agents, broker-dealers, investment advisors and lobbyists remain taxed. House Bill 189 has been placed behind the budget for consideration at a later date. Protections for Children. A bill to further protect children from abuse in Tennessee advanced out of the Criminal Justice Subcommittee this week. House Bill 2377 by State Representative Clay Doggett, R. Pulaski, would make it easier to prosecute cases involving ongoing sexual abuse of a child. The proposal lowers the artificial evidentiary barrier that disproportionately affects cases involving young children by focusing on patterns of conduct instead of rigid timelines. It reduces the time frame of abuse from 90 to 30 days. House Bill 2377 will be heard in the Judiciary Committee on March 23. Contraband in penal institutions. The House Criminal Justice Subcommittee this week advanced a proposal to crack down on contraband in jails and prisons in Tennessee. House Bill 1678 by State Representative Mike Sparks, R. Smyrna, increases the penalties for knowingly and with unlawful intent sending or bringing contraband into a penal institution that results in the death of another person. The proposal strengthens the following: Class C felony to a Class B felony for weapons, ammunition, or explosives, Class D felony to a Class C felony for intoxicants, legend drugs, controlled substances, or controlled substance analogs, and Class E felony, punishable by a fine only, to a Class D felony for telecommunication devices. Nearly 50 inmates in prisons across Tennessee have died from illicit drugs in each of the past 5 years, according to the Tennessee Department of Correction. House Bill 1678 will be heard in the Judiciary Committee on March 23. Workforce Development. House Bill 2617, sponsored by State Representative Timothy Hill, R. Blountville, would require the governor, in coordination with the Tennessee Workforce Development Board, to approve all short-term workforce training programs eligible for federal workforce Pell grants. The proposal would provide much-needed funding for Tennessee students seeking to enter the state's workforce. House Bill 2617 is scheduled to be heard in the Commerce Committee on March 25. Mental Health Resources. House Bill 1761, sponsored by State Representative Ron Gant, R. Piperton, would require the State Employee Assistance Program, which includes mental health and wellness resources, to be made available for all active members of volunteer fire departments or eligible combination fire departments across Tennessee. It also expands access to mental health treatment for post-traumatic stress disorder to part-time public safety employees. House Bill 1761 will provide necessary support to volunteer firefighters who respond to stressful situations, often in addition to having full-time jobs. The proposal has been placed behind the budget for consideration at a later date. Public Utility Representation. Legislation to give local communities more say over who provides their electric service advanced out of the Cities and Counties Subcommittee this week. If a city or county believes its residents could be better served by another provider, House Bill 2592, sponsored by State Representative Kevin Vaughn, R. Collierville, creates a clear and fair process to evaluate that option. The legislation establishes a transparent valuation process so communities know exactly what it would cost to purchase the electric infrastructure serving their area. House Bill 2592 is scheduled to be heard in the State and Local Government Committee on March 24. Virtual currency kiosk ban. The General Assembly this week unanimously approved legislation to prohibit the installation and operation of virtual currency kiosks, commonly known as Bitcoin ATMs or crypto kiosks. House Bill 2505, sponsored by House Speaker Cameron Sexton, R. Crossville, and State Representative J. Reedy, R. Aaron, creates a Class A misdemeanor to own or operate a virtual currency kiosk. The legislation was drafted with law enforcement agencies to address a surge in scams across the volunteer state. A Middle Tennessee law enforcement agency recently reported that nearly $4 million was stolen from dozens of residents in scams tied to crypto kiosks. Because of the instant, nearly untraceable nature of these transactions, victims rarely recover stolen funds. A report by Chainalysis estimates $17 billion was stolen in crypto scams and fraud in 2025 alone. The bill now heads to Governor Bill Lee's desk for his signature. It would take effect July 1st. Patient care. The General Assembly this week passed House Bill 2044, sponsored by Speaker Pro Tempore Pat Marsh, R. Shelbyville, which authorizes physician assistants to delegate certain tasks to certified medical assistants. The legislation clarifies the categories of prescriptions a medical assistant may prepare or administer. administer under a physician's supervision. It also outlines patient care duties that medical assistants are prohibited from performing, such as providing a medical opinion. House Bill 2044 now heads to Governor Bill Lee's desk for his signature. USS Intrepid. House Joint Resolution 727, sponsored by State Representative Jerome Moon, R. Maryville, was unanimously approved by the Tennessee House of Representatives this week. The resolution urges Congress to enact legislation that would bring home the remains of the 13 U.S. Marines and sailors aboard the USS Intrepid when it exploded in Tripoli Harbor on September 4, 1804, during the First Barbary War. The soldiers were buried by American prisoners of war in Libya, marking the start of a centuries-long debate as to whether the fallen soldiers should remain in Libya or return to the U.S. The resolution will now be considered in the Senate before heading to Governor Bill Lee's desk. Hiring processes. Legislation to ensure applicants aren't permanently restricted from performing certain jobs due to past psychological exams advanced in the House this week. House Bill 2074, sponsored by State Representative Greg Vidal, R. Harrison, allows a person who applies for a public safety position to seek a second psychological evaluation if the individual was not cleared the first time. The bill does not require employment reconsideration, but it does allow departments seeking to hire an applicant to reconsider the employment decision. House Bill 2074 is scheduled to be heard in the Commerce Committee on March 25. Gateway to the Smokies. A resolution by State Representative Fred Achley, R. Sevierville, designating the city of Gatlinburg as the official gateway to the Smokies was unanimously approved by the House of Representatives this week. House Joint Resolution 751 recognizes the city's unique location bordering Great Smoky Mountains National Park, its proximity to major park entrances like Sugarlands, and its role as the primary access point and base camp for millions of visitors each year. The resolution also highlights Gatlinburg's position along U.S. Route 441 as the busiest entryway to the nation's most visited national park and affirms its importance in supporting tourism and access to the Smoky Mountains. The companion version is expected to be heard in the Senate Commerce Committee on March 24. Military employment. The Business and Utilities Subcommittee advanced legislation this week to make it easier for military families to use their out-of-state professional licenses in Tennessee. The Military Families Licensing Recognition Act, sponsored by State Representative Rick Eldridge, R. Morristown, allows active-duty military members and their spouses to use their professional licenses without having to get fully relicensed as long as they are relocating under military orders. The proposal would also apply to those who live in a neighboring state but want to work in Tennessee. House Bill 1677 is expected to be heard in the Commerce Committee on March 25. Sex offenders at campgrounds. Legislation requiring sex offenders to notify campground owners or operators of their status before they stay on their property advanced out of the Criminal Justice Subcommittee this week. House Bill 1922, sponsored by State Representative Michelle Carringer, R. Knoxville, creates a Class E felony for any sex offender or violent sex offender who does not notify the owner or operator of a campground before the beginning of their overnight stay. If enacted, this requirement would take effect on July 1. House Bill 1922 is expected to be heard in the Judiciary Committee on March 23. Seasonal firework sales. Legislation to extend the period in which seasonal firework retailers may sell fireworks advanced out of the Business and Utilities Committee this week. House Bill 1926, sponsored by State Representative Rush Brickin, R. Tullahoma, adds Memorial Day and Labor Day to the period in which fireworks can be sold in the volunteer state. It would also increase the seasonal permit fee to sell fireworks from $100 to $150. House Bill 1926 is scheduled to be heard in the Commerce Committee on March 25.